In these last several weeks, several of us in leadership positions have been talking with each other just about how God has been impressing upon our hearts the fact that God's will for His people and for His church far exceeds what our vision can be. So often we're afraid to have vision because we think, well, what God wants is going to be a lot less than that. Well, folks, it's the exact opposite. God has a worldwide vision. He's got a great plan for His church, and He's had it from the very beginning. Here and there, I will quote from Philip Schaff, the great church historian. He wrote an 8-volume set of books covering the entire sweep of church history. And in referring to the growth of the church in the post-apostolic era, he writes, "Christianity, once established, was its own best missionary. It grew naturally from within. It attracted people by its very presence. It was a light shining in darkness and illuminating the darkness. And while there were no professional missionaries devoting their whole life to this specific work, every congregation was a missionary society, and every Christian believer a missionary, inflamed by the love of Christ to convert his fellow men. The example had been set by Jerusalem and Antioch, and by those brethren who, after the martyrdom of Stephen, were scattered abroad and went about preaching the word." Now, those men in those early days took Christ seriously. He said to go into all the world. And they believed that in their generation that was possible to do. And you think about the difference between that generation and ours, and yet before the turn of the century, the gospel, we know for sure, had gotten all the way to Great Britain, had gotten all the way to China, had gotten all the way down into Africa. It's an amazing thing when you look at what happened in just a matter of decades with people who had to walk to be able to spread the gospel. And my friends, God has a vision for each one of us that is greater than we can even imagine. And folks, we really don't have that perspective. Every so often we get a glimpse of it when we really take the Word of God for what it is and we take it seriously, but then it's very easy for us to go back into basing our life on our past experience, to look at life from the limitations of what is going on at the present within Bible Christianity, especially in America, and we lose the reality of what the Word of God says. And so for several Sunday nights, we are going to have as our theme, abounding. Always abounding. I hope we can break out of the limitations that we impose upon what God wants to do and get into divine territory with His vision for our lives. Let's go to one of the most well-known passages, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would, with me here today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And here we see a tremendous ending to a very unusual chapter. It would take all message to give all the background of this chapter. It really deals with the bodily resurrection of the believer. And there was already creeping into the church Greek philosophy that tried to spiritualize the actual bodily resurrection of believers. If there's no bodily resurrection of believers, there was no bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we are of all men most miserable. A pretty strong passage. And then it goes into the tremendous reality that there is going to be the wonderful resurrection at the coming of Christ, and that we're going to be made new in Him. And you have the great passage on the fact, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" How many times I've quoted this either in a message for a funeral or most of the time at the graveside. "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's always such a thrilling reality. Folks, death is swallowed up in victory. This corruptible will put on incorruption. Aren't you glad we're going to get a new body? I'm telling you, it will be a great thing. And some here are more appreciative than others of that reality that we are going to get a resurrected body like unto Jesus Christ. That's a great hope. But because of all of that, and much more in this chapter, we have the conclusion here in verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, and here it is, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, folks, we need to understand that life is all about God. We're created by God. We're here because of God. We are saved because of what Christ did for us. And everything about our life is for Him. It's not for us. And God has allowed us to have the privilege of representing Him. We're Christians, Christ's representatives. And we have the privilege of taking what was planned before the foundation of the world and being part of that great plan in this day. And we need to get out of the little box of our existence and survival and trying to have a good life and realize that God has a mighty plan, an abounding plan for each one of us. And here in this verse, because of that, we're to be steadfast, unmovable. In other words, we need to be fixed on the right goal, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I want us to look, first of all, here tonight at the goal of Christ's ministry, for that's what we have. We're looking at abounding service here tonight. God wants us to be utilizing our lives by His Spirit with an eternal perspective. One of the things that this generation, and really the last few generations in America, has lost is the reality of eternity. You know, we're pretty happy with the life we got. And honestly, folks, compared to most of the world, for most of history, this period of time in America has been an unbelievable time. Even people that don't have much have much. And so we are very much fixed upon this life. And then we do everything we can to insulate ourselves from death. And we don't talk about it. Sometimes there's the morbid movies about it. But as far as that being a part of our life, we just sort of insulate ourselves, go on, and do not think about the reality of eternity. That's not so around the world, and it's certainly not been the case in the past. But we can have an eternal perspective. And God wants us to be understanding our life counts with eternity in view. See, your life can have an impact that will have an enormous part to play in 1,000 years from now. Folks that are saved will be there. People's growth in their spiritual life, that will be evident in the years ahead. There will be very clearly the work and stamp of Christ through you in the lives of people that will go on for eternity, and just our fellowship with God for that time. And so when we get out of our little bubble and wake up and realize what life is about, it really changes everything. That happened to me. I've given my testimony many times. 15 years of age, I was in a little bubble, going to the public school in a youth group that was fairly carnal, and just sort of existing and all about myself. And God, through my grandmother's prayers, made it possible for me to go 3 weeks with my parents to a number of countries, ending up in the country of Israel. And God began to break me out of that little world I was in. And by the time we got to near the end of the tour, I was really beginning to think. And then, thankfully, we were at the Garden Tomb. And there at the Garden Tomb, Dr. Ed Nelson preached on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'll never forget, it just hit me. What a little life I had when there was such a big life to be lived. Jesus rose from the grave. This is real. This is what really matters. And it just, the Spirit of God swept over my soul. And from that, within the next couple of days, God really got a hold of my heart. But folks, we need to understand that life is eternal. You're going to be alive 10,000 years from now. Did you know that? You're going to be alive a million years from now. Even Brother Crowick, who's got his birthday today, you're going to be alive then and keep on having birthdays. And I wonder if we'll celebrate birthdays. Probably not, but you never know. Just remind us, wow, what an amazing eternal life we have. But friends, it's something that we have got to ask God to do, because we are locked in to such a limited, unbelieving perspective on life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, the Apostle Paul gives the real heartbeat of why he's able to keep going. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, and oh, did he suffer, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For the light affliction, and it wasn't really light from our perspective, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Well, we look not at the things which we can see, which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let me ask you right now, what motivates you? What's seen or what's not seen? The here and now or the eternal? That's quite a question to answer. I mean, for me, it's quite a question to answer. What is our focus? Folks, we need to understand we're not limited by our circumstances. We're not limited by this little life. We are Christ's servants, and He is the eternal God. He has an eternal purpose, and He wants us to realize that His resurrection power makes it possible for us to affect eternity for His glory. Listen, folks through the years have believed that. The early church, as the historian said, was not built by professional leadership. It was built by quote-unquote just laymen who gave up everything, and eternity was what mattered. They saw it. And so, as you look at this verse, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know, for as much as you know, your labor is not going to be in vain in the Lord. Everything you do right now is going to make a difference. You are touching eternity. You have an opportunity to make a difference. And to think that you can enjoy the reality that God used you all the way through the years to come, there's that person. You'll never forget that you had the privilege of leading that person to the Lord. Or to be able to see that Christian grow and they affected many other people. It will just be a delight as we are in heaven, and to know that Jesus Christ was pleased. And that ought to give us a confident perspective. The work of the Lord, abounding in the work of the Lord. That is His energy and power to be able through us to accomplish all that He has told us to do. We often quote just Paul talking about how he's able to handle the situations that he was in. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And so when we think about the vision, and folks, I'm asking us to pray, Lord, give us an abounding vision. Give us a vision that's way beyond ourselves. And my friends, God is the one that does the work, not us. And we can be confident that it can be accomplished. Well, this goes against the flesh, and that's our problem. You see, we get limited. We're limited, folks, because we think of what we can do. And it wears us out when we think about it. And we feel very much boxed in because, well, the issue is we really can't do it. But we don't really want to do it if we're walking in the flesh. I think of the key turning points of my own life and with the lives of many that I've had the privilege of touching. And you can go back and look at the decision you made to say no to your flesh and say, I am going to ask God to change me and give me a vision. I'm going to start by getting trained in netcasters on Saturday morning, and I'm going to go out. My flesh doesn't want to, but I want to be used of God. Now, that can be a decision for that time, but my friends, it can absolutely shape your life as you begin to see God use you and you go against the flesh and your eyes begin to get opened. You begin to see the work of the Lord. You begin to see His power in action. You become a different person. Every person that takes the step of faith to go against how we feel and the limitations of our thinking and to do what God has told us to do begins to see the Creator God in action doing great things. It never just comes. God doesn't just move you along. He's not going to just zap you. He will convict you. He will work in your heart. But you have to take the step of faith against the flesh and step out to please the Lord and to do His will. And that's when God works. The always abounding comes when we say no to the limiting flesh. Well, that brings us to the scope of Christ's victory. Always abounding. It's the idea of exceeding the requirements, of overflowing, just abundance of whatever it is, and in this case, abounding in the work of the Lord. Did you know that not only can you serve the Lord, but when you're walking with God, you can just abound in it. Everywhere you turn, God's working. Do you think the Apostle Paul at the beginning felt that he'd be used like he was being used? I mean, everywhere he turned, God was doing something. You see, God opens this door and God opens that door. God begins to give you wisdom here. He gifts you over here. He gives you this connection. He gives you this idea. And as you take steps of faith and are willing to serve the Lord, you begin to exceed yourself. You begin to overflow. You begin to just go beyond what you could have imagined, and you begin to watch God do the miraculous. Folks, would you like to live a miracle life? Now, folks, if we could get a hold of what God wants for us, it would take our breath away. And yet we limit Him so much. Now, as I've already said, it's not humanly accomplished. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain. It's in vain if we do it, but it's not in vain if He does it. We often quote John 15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, fully connected and dependent, so that His power comes into us. So the same bringeth forth how much fruit? Much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So without Him, we can't please the Lord. With Him, we can have an abundant spiritual work. You go on to verse 7 in chapter 15 on abiding. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now note, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. All right, let me just ask you, how many people in this auditorium does God want to have bear a huge amount of fruit? Everybody. How many of us are to abide in the vine? Everyone. When we're abiding in the vine, we have divine power to do what we cannot do and to fulfill the vision that God gives to us. Much fruit, abounding, overflowing fruit. Now, folks, if we think about that human, I just can't do. That's not the point. The point is start taking the steps that God gives you and allow that vision to increase. And I've really been burdened myself. I know God wants me to go to another level. I know He wants every one of us to go to another level, not of what we do ourselves, but what we allow Him to do. And to realize that God's not boxed in by what's going on. God is ready to use this trial very much if we will believe this verse. It will be an abundant spiritual work. It will be eternal. God will overcome our limitations. He will overcome our normal expectations. He will start opening doors. I love it when I look at the time that my brother Jim did his first war away from our church. We pioneered it. I had the privilege of pioneering it there at our church in Chicago. And they went to a little town with a church that was thriving, and they did their very first war. Guess what happened? God did abundantly, because God wanted to show what kind of a vision that should be done. Now, do you think Dr. Jim back then had the idea and understanding that thousands and thousands of young people would get saved, that thousands of Christian young people would give their lives to the Lord? There's no way he could have seen that. That's what God does. One step at a time, God just keeps increasing the effectiveness of the vision that he gives to us. And then finally, consistency in Christ's victory. One of our problems, we get the eternal perspective, and God really works there, and God really is able to get a hold of our heart, and we begin to realize the scope, that it is abundant. It should be all, but it should be always abundant. Look back at verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, consistent, always abounding. So how much of our life should be overflowing and just seeing the power of God and obviously exceeding what we can do? All the time. I don't know about you, but that's pretty exciting. Did you know tomorrow can be an abounding day? God's plan. And God is wanting to do that, always abounding. We are to be, by his power, steadfast, unmovable. So abundant service, folks, should be the normal state of the believer, not during great times of emphasis. We need times of emphasis, gives us channels in which we can work. But, and this is the great conviction for all of us, I mean, we ought to be thrilled about the abundance of God's working every day, every week, 52 weeks a year. That's what happened in the early church. That's what happens during extended periods of revival. People begin to realize Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is able to give much fruit Monday through Sunday. He is able to work each day, each hour, if we will truly allow him to do so. And he can overcome our normal fleshly state. Galatians 5:16, very familiar verse. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He wants our lives to be overflowing all the time. Well, if you've ever studied different kinds of birds, it's very interesting how they take care of their young. Geese don't do super well. Certain types of geese. They will sit faithfully on a dozen or so eggs and will not move for anything or anybody. You better not get around. But after three or four eggs hatch, the mother becomes so preoccupied with them that she walks away from the remaining eggs and does not persevere to the end. And I was thinking as I read that little scientific fact that so often we get excited about some move of God, and then we walk away from staying with the fullness of what can be done in evangelism, the people we're discipling. This morning we had people here that our folks have been contacting for several years, and finally we had a victory today. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And God wants us to understand that this consistency, always abounding, and God will continue to do it if we will trust him. But it is, abundant service is a faith journey. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. That's the walk of faith depending upon God. Therefore, then, we will be always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, there is that confidence that following the Lord, you will have God continue to open up step by step. You're going to have trials. You're going to have Satan push back. You're going to have issues in your life. But tonight, we determine, I've got to live an abundant life. I'm going to be serious about having God's vision. And tomorrow when you get up, you take that step of faith, you meet with God, you say, Lord, whatever your spirit tells me to do today, I'm going to do. I'm going to be obedient to your word. And you continue to take those steps, and by taking those steps, God then begins to open the doors. I love Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, often quote this, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How did you receive him? By faith. So walk ye in him. Faith step after faith step. You know, what's thrilling about the Christian life is you start with one step, and then God's going to give you another, and then you got courage to take another, and then he gives you a big one. But you know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to depend upon him. And then that door swings open. And then you have a opposition, but you know that God's called you to do that, and then you see God overcome that, and you begin to realize that anything that God has called you to do, he will enable you to do it. And so you can have, and what that will do is verse 7 says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So you see the journey of faith will cause you to be rooted and built up and established in the faith, and you'll be able to abound in your life. And so it's very simple. Haven't said a lot we didn't know. But my friends, I'm deeply exercised about the fact that God really has some serious things for us. This is no pep talk. This is Bible. This is right where we are. Every person in this room is a strategic person in the plan of God. And when God is able to get the hold of the hearts of an entire church, and that those folks are on the journey of faith, God then does abounding things, always abounding. Faith increases. Steps can be bigger and bigger that are taken. God opens doors. Great opportunities come. And that's what we need to believe for him to do for each one of us. I've mentioned about a biography I read when I was in college about Uncle John Vassar. Uncle John Vassar was a layman. Never was a preacher. Never was in full-time ministry. Just a working man. But that man had began to realize what would happen when the Spirit of God filled a man. And he yielded to the Spirit and promised to obey every prompting of the Spirit, and he found out that God had great divine-sized work for him to do. He began to win souls to Christ and saw one after the other. He began to have a mighty prayer life in which God answered prayer. In fact, the church that he was at just had a move of God in which that entire town was affected and souls were saved everywhere. He then was asked to go to other churches, and all he would do is come in, get the people to pray, go out soul winning, train the people to go soul winning, but his faith in the abounding work of God and his example stirred those churches, and church after church in the region that he was in experienced a Holy Ghost revival. If that biography had not been written, no one would ever know. Just a humble man. But when he walked into a church, you couldn't be the same. Here is a man that believed that God wanted to do an eternal work that was overflowing, that would bring glory to God, that if we would focus on that will of God to be accomplished, that God would do it. In fact, he didn't even really hardly knew how to win souls, but he decided he's going to be used of God. And friends, God's ready to not just do some nice things for us. He is ready to do an abounding work. Let's bow for prayer.